All right, so I'm joined by Daniel Cayley-Daou, the Director General of the umbrella organization, the TROCAO, to talk about the provincial budget that was just released early this week. Daniel, how's it going?
I'm doing good. Hi. How are you, Caleb?
Oh, not so bad. All right, so before we get started here, could you explain a little bit about, to my listeners, what exactly the TROCAO is and what you guys do?
So the TROCAO is a network of community organizations for nonprofits that have community-oriented like missions for the whole Outaouais region, so both urban, rural, including a bunch of groups in the Pontiac.
And what was your reaction initially there with the budget?
I mean, as you know, we've been protesting, demanding an increase in funding for a variety of reasons, because of increase in needs from the community sectors, the difficulty to recruit people, maintain people in these organizations that are pretty important for our communities. And in this budget, they reserved a whole section to say, look, we've announced all of these all of this money for the community organizations, but if we dig into the numbers, first of all, there's a lot of things that that are unclear. Seems like big announcements, but it's unclear how the money will go and to who it'll go. And then second, when we do dig into some of the details, it's really for the vast majority of organizations in our region and across Quebec, it's a very, very small amount that is promised if you analyze it to, like, let's say about $10,000-$15,000 for a group, looking at the issues we're facing, it's not going to be a game changer, unfortunately. So it's as if the government doesn't completely get the full picture or doesn't want to commit to investing what it takes.
And you guys had been asking for a specific dollar amount, or they had promised themselves a specific dollar amount, I understand?
Well, we were asking for $460 million recurring funding so groups can base their budgets for years to come and increase kind of their baseline funding. This is across Quebec, so $460 million in additional funding across different sectors of community organizations, whether it's youth, education, or whatnot. The government had promised, oh, we want to support you. They even reacted in the last few weeks saying, yeah, we'll make a nice announcement. Maybe not everything you want, but some of it. And so today we have an announcement that goes up to $37 million for one of the sectors in health and social services, which covers about 3,000 groups across Quebec. And in a few other sectors, like family groups and stuff, there might be some higher amounts. But all in all, most groups did not get an amount that was announced that was high enough for the needs that we have right now.
And one of the things that you had mentioned there earlier was that the importance of having a recurring funding, that you guys know you're going to get a certain amount over a span of 5 years, so you can actually plan in advance and that kind of stuff too. That was severely lacking here from this budget, it seems. And you also mentioned too that they seem to have announced funding that they had, or sort of repeatedly announced funding or announced things twice.
Well, that's kind of the thing. They kind of grouped the whole announcement in and added the funding for the next 5 years. So one of the big pluses of some of the funding we have in Quebec is what we call recurring mission-based funding. And that's what we asked for. Some of that is what the government announced. But ultimately, if you announce, let's say, $37 million in recurring funding this year, and then you add it up for the next 5 years, which is what they did in the budget announcement, and say, oh, look, we announced $200 or whatever million dollars. Ultimately, it won't be $200 million in recurring funding. It'll be an added up for over 5 years. This new funding for next year will be that much more. And so on the baseline budget of an organization, they can't they can only rely on what they're announcing this year, not for any new amount for next year's, basically.
And so going forward here, what exactly, I guess, in an ideal world, what would you like to see from the government as far as funding going forward?
I mean, the first thing we're going to be doing is really pushing back to clarify what exactly they did announce, because there's a lot, as I mentioned, there's a lot of details missing. They'll be doing that clarification hopefully by May, and ultimately we'll keep pushing for what we need on the ground, because as we see the rising cost of living, rising inequality gap, needs of the people in our communities, the needs of our organizations and nonprofits in our communities keep rising, and the resources aren't there to meet those needs. So we'll keep demanding the money we do need to function adequately, and we'll go back to the communicating with politicians, going back to the streets, whatever it takes to make ourselves heard.
So I guess we can expect more of these strikes coming in the future here?
I mean, we're going into an electoral year, and there's a lot of issues that affect the people in our organizations. There's a lot of different ways that this can manifest, but I think the issues will be raised one way or another, whether it's directly the funding on organizations or the impacts that are felt on the ground. So we can expect definitely movement in that direction.
And I just wanted to, just wrapping up here, to touch on, because the groups that you guys do cover, it's quite a diverse group, and it affects a lot of different things. There's youth organizations, there's other things for education and that kind of stuff, and health and mental health services and that sort of thing. So can you touch on just how broad and how diverse this group is, and what they do in their communities?
Yeah, so I just described a little bit more. So community organizations that have food, emergency shelter, when it comes to violence against women, whether it's even adult who wants to learn and to read and write, kids that are at risk of dropping out of school, supporting all of those people. Mental health, as we've seen with the pandemic, has been kind of a pretty big issue. So all of it, and I mean, there's quite a variety. I can't name them all, but quite a variety of issues that are covered by these organizations. And basically, these organizations are from the community needs. So usually they're born out of groups of citizens that come together and express this need, because it either isn't being covered by the health and social services that the state provides, or because you need to develop some community bonds, some solidarity relations, some way to help each other, to complement, to prevent having to go to the hospital, for example, or a bunch of other problems that can arise in someone's life, basically.
And like you were saying too, we're coming out of we're still within a pandemic to an extent,
yeah.
And there's cost of gas, the inflation, everything's going up. So it's not like these services are going to be in less demand, right? So just wrapping up
exactly.
Here, yeah, I'll give you the last word if there's anything else that you wanted to talk about or that we didn't touch on here.
Yeah, and then you're talking about the rising cost of living. Unfortunately, the big announcement, the big headlines that we saw with the budget was oh, we're giving you $500 that'll go directly to you if you're making less than $100,000. Ultimately, that's basically a dent in any individual budget, and it sacrifices the collective resources that we do need to invest into to help out the more marginalized parts of our communities.
Daniel, I want to thank you for your time again here.
Thank you very much, Caleb.